The next thought that the Tao teaches us to change. Change your thoughts. Change your life. You really do. See, so much of the previous PBS specials that I've done on inspiration and intention, these were teaching people generically how to think differently. What Lao Tzu taught me was what to specifically think in place of thinking that. Instead of thinking that I don't trust my nature, he said, trust your nature. Instead of saying, I need more, he said, you need less. More is less. That comes right out of the Tao. Next thought. Move from thinking in a rigid way to thinking and being flexible, soft, and allowing. From rigidity to softness. What a wonderful transformation that is. I was standing looking at, with my son Sands, and we were on Maui, and we were looking at water. As water was going against some rocks and some cliffs and so on, and in these pictures, in this moment, I said to my son, I said, which do you think is stronger, the water or the cliff? The water or the rocks? Which one do you think is more powerful and stronger? And he said, well, he said, the rocks. Obviously, they're stronger and they're bigger and all. I said, but, I said, water is very, very patient, isn't it? How much chance do those rocks have if they want to survive? I mean, what chance do they have? And Lao Tzu is speaking to us about understanding our nature by examining how nature works and then making it apply to our thoughts so that a soft thought, a thought that isn't a rigid thought, a thought that doesn't say you have to be this way or you have to be that way, a thought that is not stiff, a thought that water, there are so many references to water and what we can learn from water. You're 75% water. The planet is 75% water. We are water. The rest of us is just muscled water. It's all water. And water is soft. Water can enter anywhere. You get into a conflict with somebody else, and you picture yourself as water. You can enter with water in any place that there's an opening. If you can visualize yourself as a being who moves into the space of water, if you can see yourself that way, you can just enter into those places in the people that you love, in your children, in your spouse, in anyone at all, and enter there softly. Here's verse 8. The supreme good is water, which nourishes all things without trying to. And verse 78, right smack out of the Tao, nothing in the world is softer and weaker than water. But for attacking the hard, the unyielding, nothing can surpass it. There is nothing like it. Here it is. I asked, When they designed this set, this beautiful set, and thank you, designers, for this, I asked if I could have water on the stage. They did it. They figured it out. There's a now, I'm going to try to get some of this water, okay? So you get down here, and you just, I'm going to just scoop this up. Okay, now, tighter you hold it, the less chance you have of doing anything with it, isn't it? How can I experience water? The way to experience water is to just get soft. Just get unbending. And there it is. That's what water is. The minute I grasp it, the minute I try. And Lao Tzu is saying, the same thing is true in everything in your life. The more you grasp, the more you try to hold on to it, the more you try to be rigid with it, the less control you have of it. The softer you are, the less rigid you are, the more flexible you are as a person, the more you can accomplish. And this is a great way to practice in parenting as well. And this idea that a rigid thought, how many times have you heard this idea that if I tell you something, I'm going to stay consistent with it. We have a set of rules, these are the rules, and we'll do it this way. In the Tao, it says the more rules you make, the more rule breakers you create. It's true. The more rules you have in your house about how everything has to go. We had in our house, my wife would have a big jar of M&Ms. peanuts, you know, different, they, all these different multicolored ones. And so, and the kids in our house, because we didn't feed them sugar and we didn't give them sodas and stuff like that. So they, you know, they were just more like a decoration. Every once in a while, someone would take them. They'd hardly ever be replaced. Now, when we had kids come over to our house who weren't ever allowed to have such horrible things, you should have seen their behavior. You know, they would scoop them up, they'd be putting them in their pockets, and they'd get their purses, and they'd open it up, and, you know, the whole thing would be empty. I'd say, what are you doing? He said, well, you mean you can just have these whenever you want them? I said, well, we don't really have any rules about that. It's just, it's not something that we encourage or discourage. It's just there. It's like Emerson had a wonderful line. He said, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. A foolish consistency, a rigid consistency. So that there are many people who will say, if I say it on Monday, you can be absolutely certain that on Wednesday, I'm going to believe the same thing, regardless of what might happen on Tuesday. Now, Tuesday might have something real that you might want to be changing your mind. You might want to say, you know, I thought that this time, but now I've seen this, and now we can shift. And you can see how this can become when, and so much about the Tao is on leadership. Leadership in the family, leadership in the community, leadership geopolitically. Less rigidity, more openness, more willingness to listen and say, I changed my mind. Because a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. And what I believed on Wednesday has changed because of what happened on Tuesday. Now, another important thing to say to your children, to your friends, to your lover, to your spouses, to whomever, to the people you work with, words that we're so terrified to say, but which give us a sense of living with the Tao. I don't know. I don't know. I'll look it up. Say it. I don't know. Doesn't hurt. Say it again. I don't know. Isn't it fearful? I mean, so many people, and it's like very freeing, because my kids call, ask me something, and I say, I don't know. They say, Dad, you know everything. You know everything. I say, well, I don't know that, and I'll look it up, or we'll try to find an answer to that, but I don't quite know. I know that I spent 20 years running. And I ran every day for 20 years, for 22 years, without missing a day. 8 miles, never missed a day. That's rigid, all right? Some call that obsessive. But you brush your teeth every day, I used to say, and you don't call that obsessive. And you go to the bathroom every day, and you don't say, well, he's obsessively doing that again today. You don't do that. But anyway, what I learned is that even in the world of exercise, there are certain things that are built in to make us rigid, to make us stiff, to make us hard. And we lift, and we run, and we kick, and this is what we call working out. There's another kind of working out that is ancient. It goes back to the time of Lao Tzu and before, which is called yoga. And yoga means union. It means union with your source. And when you do yoga, you can stay in the same place. You can do the equivalent of 8 miles. When I used to run 8 miles, I had to run 4 miles that way, turn around, 4 miles back, and I'd be sweating. Now I can do yoga, and I can just stand in one place, and in 90 minutes, by being supple, by making myself stretch, by not being hard and rigid, I can, you know, I can get that out there, I can get that leg up, I can do these kinds of things, and 90 minutes later, you know, it's like I'm totally sweating, and I feel so different. I used to, when I would go out at night to eat or something, after running so many miles, running marathons and doing those things, I'd go to get up and it would be, okay, it's going to take a little while. Because everything was so, that doesn't happen anymore because I've given up hard. I've given up being rigid and substituted it for being supple, for being flexible, for living a life in which I don't have to always be so fierce. Listen to this verse of the Tao Te Ching. It's one of my all-time favorites. Verse number 76. A man is born gentle and weak. At his death, he becomes hard and stiff. All things, including the grass and the trees, are soft and pliable in life, dry and brittle in death. Stiffness is thus a companion in death. Flexibility is a companion in life. And it's not just for how you exercise. It's how you think, how you think. In front of my place on Maui, there is a beautiful set of 11 or 12 palm trees. And these are like 30, 40, 50 feet tall. They've been there for, I don't know how long, decades. And when the winds come and when the storms will blow them over. There they are, watch. And they're just these amazing, elastic things. I learned so much from these things. I go out there, when I wrote the essay in the book on the verse 73, I just went out there with the palm trees, and I would just commune with these palm trees, and they go all the way up, and then they come all the way back. That's a symbol for how we need to think in our own lives. In verse 73, it says, "It is heaven's way to conquer without striving. It does not ask, yet it is supplied with all that it needs. It does not hurry, yet it completes everything on time." One of my favorite lines from the Tao, one of my favorite beliefs from the Tao is this, that you're doing nothing. All of you, you're doing nothing. You're just being done. Just like you were the first 9 months of your life, you think you're out there and you're making this happen and you're making that happen and you've got all these rigid things and you have to apply your life this way. You're not doing anything any more than you were having your fingernails show up when they were supposed to. And look at you, look at all of you, look around. You know, it's like, you know, what held it in yesterday? You know? I don't know, I'm not doing anything. They fall out and they don't fall out no matter how hard I try to keep them in there. Finally, my kid said, give it up, give it up. So I was over in England and they told me that I couldn't take my shampoo bottles on the plane and there's nothing you can do about it. I said, yes, there is. I'll just shave my head. I no longer need shampoo. Okay, so we want to move from stiffness to flexibility. The next thought that I'd like to see us change that the Tao taught me so much was living by interfering, to shift that to living by not interfering. Do you know that every one of your children have the anchor of the universe located within them? And that Khalil Gibran, this is a paraphrase, he said, your children are not your children. They are the products of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not for you. They're not there for you. So what are you doing interfering in their lives? Now, I'm not talking about letting them play out in the traffic or play at the edge of a swimming pool if they don't know how to swim. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I called this when I was working on this and living this and practicing this for that full year of 2006, the bite your tongue. Zip your lip verses of the Tao. Verse 29 of the Tao. Do you think you can take over the universe and improve it? I do not believe it can be done. Everything under heaven is a sacred vessel and cannot be controlled. Trying to control leads to ruin. Trying to grasp, we lose. Allow your life to unfold naturally. Allow other people's lives to unfold naturally as well. We have parents, and I see them a lot. They're called helicopter parents. Because they're always hovering. They're hovering over their kids, and they're telling them what to do and what not to do. And my son came over from England, my son Shane, and he was going to get ready to go to college, in America. And my wife said to me, so you're going to take him and show him about registration, right? I said, oh, yeah, I'll be doing that. She said, well, make sure that you help him because he doesn't have any idea how to register at the school, this great big school with thousands of people. I said, yeah, and I do, right? I would know how to register kids at school, you know? And so Shane got in the car, and I said, it's all going to be fine. It'll all be fine. And we drive over to the campus, and I drop him off, and I have my tennis racket in the back. And he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm a prophet." I said, "I get paid by the thought. And I have a tennis match, and then I have to walk on the beach so that I get paid by the thought." He said, "But what about the registration?" I said, "Well, the registration, I said, you'll do a lot like I did when I learned to register." He said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "You'll just go up to the people and say, 'Where is registration?'" And they'll say, "It's over there where all of those people are all lined up." Because I remember those days in a college of 40,000 students or so, finding out how to register. "Tracy, did I take you to register, honey?" "No." So he said, "You mean you're just going?" I said, "Yeah, you just go over there." I said, "You want daddy to walk with you over and take you through graduate? You're 18 years old and you want daddy to register you?" He said, "Oh, no, I wouldn't want that." So we got home at the end of the evening. When I got back home, and my wife had said to me, she said, "Did you help Shane at registration?" "Oh," I said, "I gave him so much help. Probably the most help he ever had in his life. I taught him how to do things for himself." And so that I wouldn't have to be interfering and hovering over and figuring it all out for them. My children know that when their science project comes up, that I'm there for consultation. But I passed science. I got through that myself. And you'll be doing your own science project. If I can help you, I'd be happy to help you. But I'm not going to be getting the glue and figuring out how to make a time clock and all of that. I said, "You know, just look at a clock. That's how you tell time for me." Whatever it might be. And it's not an uncaring, and it's not a callous attitude at all. It's an awareness that your children have the anchor of the universe located within them. That's what Lao Tzu said. Now, my dear friend, who I love so much, she's right here in the audience, Carrie, right there, Carrie Evans from Maui. She has two beautiful little daughters. And she asked me if I would watch them one afternoon when my grandson, Carter, was visiting. I said, "I'd be happy to watch them." She said, "But you don't understand. I mean, they're gonna do this and they're gonna do that." I said, "You just go off," and she was studying for an exam. I said, "You go study, do whatever you have to do. I can handle three little kids out at the swimming pool for 3 or 4 hours. I can handle that." So she went off, very nervous, gave me lists, told me what to do, what they might say, what they might not say. And then if she says, "Now, if Kylie says this, you tell Kylie, and if Kamiley says this, it's Kylie, Kamiley, and Carter." All right? So they go out there, and right here, there's a little pool over here, a little swimming pool. And I watch them over in the swimming pool, and Kylie takes the water and splashes my grandson, Carter, and splashes Kamiley, and Kamiley comes over to me and runs over within 2 minutes. Says, "Kylie splashed me." Well, of course, I'm working on the Tao. Non-interference. And I said, "Splashing, honey, is in the way of things. When you're near water, splashing will take place." She said, "Yeah, but she splashed me." I said, "You'll probably work this out. This will all be fine." And she stood there for the longest time with her little lip and so on, and finally she realized she wasn't getting anywhere with me. She went back. Before you know it, one of them had taken, now Kylie and Kamiley are teaming up against Carter. And they pushed him under or whatever. Now one of them is 5, and one of them is 4, and one of them is 7 or 8. And Carter comes running over as fast as he can, runs over. He calls me Bampa. And I'm Grandpa. Bampa. Bampa, Bampa, Miley pushed me under the water. I said, "Carter, I'm a Taoist master." "But Bampa, Bampa, she pushed me. She put me under the water." I said, "You'll just have to work this one out, Carter. I'm a Taoist master." This went on all for the first hour or so. But I noticed as I was less interfering and less interfering that they were working it out. They tried again after a few times. They'd come over and they wanted this and they wanted one of them pushed and one of that. But each time when I let them know that I was watching and making sure they were safe, but I wasn't going to interfere. I wasn't going to resolve it. I wasn't going to settle their disputes for them. I wasn't going to be a helicopter parent, even for an afternoon. And the way that it resolved itself was they have the anchor of the universe within them. They have a nature. They know what to do. One of my favorite things always to say to my children when there's a conflict is, You know what the right thing to do is. What do you think? You know. You have it in your heart. You are a divine being. They all know that. I've said those words to them over and over again. You'll figure it out. You'll work it out. Not I'm going to interfere. I'm going to tell them what to do. You can practice this so many places, so many ways in your life, particularly as parents, even in business. It's very important in businesses to allow the people to say at the end of the day, right out of the Tao, oh, we did that ourselves. We did it ourselves. Mm-hmm. In the Tao, it says, there's a time for everything, and everything in its time. There's a time for everything. Listen to this. There's a time for being ahead, and a time for being at peace. There's a time for being in motion, and a time for being at rest. There's a time for being vigorous, and a time for being exhausted. And in the Bible, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. I practice. This was so helpful to me, particularly as I do my yoga practice. And in my yoga practice, there are some very exhausting postures. I do this Bikram hot yoga, all right? So it's 105 or between 105 and 110 for 90 minutes. And there's one that I used to hate. It's called triangle, you know? And so you put your foot out here, and then you do this, and then you get yourself up, and you go all the way down, and you get yourself in balance, like here. So you balance, 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 and you take your arms out here, and then you take these like this, and it's 105 degrees in there. You take one, and you're looking up here at your arm, and you look, and you look, and you look, and then you bring it back, and it lasts a full minute. And I used to just wait for that minute to be over. Oh, my God, when are they going to bring me out of this posture? It was so exhausting. I started practicing what the Tao teaches. And I remember, there's a time for being exhausted. There's a time for that. And as I practiced that, I said, and there's a time for being at rest. And it's coming, hopefully soon. But in your life, there's an awareness that there is a time for all the things that go on that you think shouldn't be happening. In the Tao, it says that hidden in all misfortune is good fortune. Hidden in the misfortune that you have is good fortune, because no storm can last forever. Even nature cannot create a storm that lasts forever. Ultimately, hidden within every storm is calmness. Hidden within every flood is drought and dryness. Hidden within all of the storms of your life is the peace that you desire. And it leans on you if you stop telling yourself and just let yourself go with it, to be at harmony with it, rather than trying. You can see why this is called the wisest book ever written, and we're just touching on it here, just touching on this. Lao Tzu was green before Al Gore. He was. This is verse 39 of the Tao Te Ching. When man interferes with the Tao, the sky becomes filthy, the earth becomes depleted, the equilibrium crumbles, creatures become extinct, therefore nobility is rooted in humility. Finally, I'd like to say to you, in understanding this idea of the Tao, is to take time yourself for being in nature. Take an hour a day. Every day of your life, take an hour a day, no matter how busy you are, no matter what scheduling that you have, to get out in nature. Walk barefoot on the grass. It's one of the great ways to overcome an inability to sleep at night. Just go out when you can't sleep and just walk on the grass, walk on the earth, and reconnect yourself. Now, go out and be with the tree and look at what you can learn from nature. Look at these trees. Look at these animals. You can study. Look at that. You can study a flower like that, that is so magnificent as it's unfolding. That's an actual photograph of this thing growing and unfolding there. You know, be with that. You have much to learn from nature, from water, from the sky, from the winds, from the trees, from the birds. The more you do it, the more you see yourself in all of them, the more you'll feel yourself as a connected being, living the Tao.